Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Local legends.
We're pleased today to have a nephew of a former guest in Jake Weatherald, South Australian, former South Australian opening batsman, now playing his trade with Tasmania, 3,178 first-class runs, an average of 34, of course 100 for the strikers in the grand final. We'll certainly get to that. We welcome aboard Jake, and first off, I'm going to bag myself first, and then you, because we've both, just doing a bit of research, got unusual middle names. Now, my middle name is Somerset, named after my grandfather, who was born in Somerset. Now, your middle name, go for it, Weathers.
My middle name is Beef. My middle name is Beef. It's just after my grandfather. So nothing much there from me, but yeah, Beef is just
we're both middle names named after our grandfathers, Weathers. So there you are.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Mate, thanks for joining us today. Obviously, we like to research our guests, and we came up with that you started your juniors back in the Northern Territory. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, so I was from Darwin, which is obviously a fair way away from the rest of the world in Australia. So, I just started there. It's obviously a footy-based territory. Very dominant with their footy, but I was lucky enough that my best mate at the time, who also played for South Australia, Tommy Andrews, his old man loved his cricket. So he sort of dragged me along and sort of said, oh, mate, you should play some cricket. You can play for your country and that. So better than playing footy. So I sort of just jumped on board and, all my best mates were playing that. So I sort of just kept doing that, really. So it was great.
Was there a local club that you played for?
I did. I played for Darwin Cricket Club, which is in Carlin Oval, which is in the city there. But yeah, also played for Tracy Village as well when I went back a few years later when I was a bit older too. So I played for a couple of clubs, but Darwin was the club that I sort of, plied my trade when I was a young guy and sort of learned everything, so which was good.
And of course, your dad in Rob Weatherald, who played for Sturt with footy, did he try and push you footy-wise or just whatever was fine with us?
My dad's not very aggressive when it comes to what sport I play. He just wanted me to play as much sport as possible. He didn't really care what I did. He coached me in everything, so he sort of just did whatever I was doing. He sort of tried to get involved and help me out with that. My mum was really big on that as well. She sort of, she's the one that took me to tennis lessons, cricket, footy and all that stuff. But, yeah, cricket was sort of once I didn't get much taller than 5'10", cricket sort of became the natural progression after that.
I was going to ask, when did you sort of realise that that cricket was going to be the main sport that you were going to play? It sounds like the height was probably the deciding factor.
Yeah, it probably was. I wasn't that good at footy either, so I wasn't that good at tennis. So I was sort of just a decent in all of them. And then, cricket was sort of the one that I sort of excelled at a bit at a younger age. So I was just happy to go through that path, and I sort of loved it. I sort of fell in love with the game after the 2005 Ashes. I sort of fell in love with cricket after watching that, staying up every night watching that. I just feel that's what I want to do. Be able to represent your country would be a pretty amazing thing. So I was just, sort of got hooked on cricket from there on. And, everything else sort of just sort of took a back step after that.
And Weathers, when did you move down to South Australia?
I was 15 when I moved down. I went to Prince Alfred College.
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
On the back of, probably just more opportunities for education. The education system, while it can be good, I probably needed to sort myself out. It wasn't the best when it came to academics, so my parents sort of sent me down south, thankfully. My mum was a pretty big driver for that. She sort of said, oh, well, you need to go sort yourself out. So I moved down when I was 15 to boarding school, and then, it sort of helped me probably pursue other avenues of obviously sport, academics and all that sort of stuff. So it was a great move, really.
And did you just play for the school at that stage, or were you involved with the club?
I was involved loosely with Sturt through my uncle, Nick, and Tim, obviously playing at Sturt. So I was associated by name, really. And then once I'd finished private school, because you had to play for your school until you were 16, 17. So once I was done there, I'd go and play grade cricket for Sturt. So that was sort of quite nice to go and have a bit of both, play men's and kids cricket. So it was good.
And of course, you opened at Prince's with Kelvin Smith, generally, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so we had a pretty good, pretty strong side. It's safe to say we didn't lose many games.
Is Opes playing then? I'm trying to think. Was Elliot Opie playing then, or is he a bit after that? Just trying to remember.
He was a bit after me. Yeah. He was a bit before me. Sorry.
Right. I was just trying to get my years right. Yeah.
Yeah. And Tommy Andrews as well in our team.
Yeah.
So we had quite a strong side. Right. So we're quite lucky.
And then at Sturt, Sturt, and then you decided to go to uni, which Mick took brilliantly, didn't he? He didn't mind that at all. Like he. How long was it before he spoke to you again with us?
No, it was a couple of days, but he was all right. He was fine. He was really good with it all. Really,
just stirring me up.
I probably hit on his own himself, but it was obviously nothing personal against him. Yeah. So I just sort of. Yeah. But he took it really well. He didn't take it well at the start, but he was awesome. He was very accepting of the fact that it was my own journey. So he was great with that, and he was ever since then. He'd been super supportive and. He's always just been in my corner ever since, so I'm like very grateful for him. He's probably out of all my family members, he was probably the one person that probably actually spent a lot of time actually training with me. Like my dad, while he liked cricket, never really, wasn't going to spend hours throwing balls to me, where Mick was always keen to do that stuff. So I owe him a lot for that.
Oh, Mick's very respected coaching-wise in South Australia in both footy and cricket. He coached, that's where I know him originally from, where Mick played cricket at Paynham, and then he got himself and Jeff Wilson out to uni, and Mick was incredible in that regard. You 300-odd people who played footy for uni, and he remembered every single person's name and all that. He was
incredible.
Incredible like that.
Yep. Of course, he's amazing.
Yeah, so playing at uni, you sort of arrived then at uni, didn't you, in terms of some runs and push your name from there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely got a lot better. It wasn't to do with the fact that I wasn't getting good at Sturt and stuff like that. They probably gave me the ability to learn myself about myself and how to play men's cricket and also how to push myself further. But the opportunity to train with Cammy Borges, who played first class cricket, I wasn't in the system at the time, so I was a bit. So I just needed someone to give me a bit of kick up the backside in terms of what the right things to do were. So that was probably the way I could do that. So he was awesome. And, uni was sort of the place to do it. I felt as though they had the facilities and the opportunity for me to do that. So,
now, were you just ambulance or a copper going past? Did you bat or just bowl?
Keeper a bit back then. Right. Too, back in the junior days.
Yeah, I kept then as well. So, I sort of a bit of an opportunity to potentially – break into the first class setup as a bit of a keeper batter or a batter keeper. I wasn't that great with the gloves at all, to be fair. But I said, if I can have a second string to my bow, I'm happy to do that. So I sort of went across the opportunity to keep.
I reckon you're a bit better keeper than what you're putting yourself down a bit there, Weathers. Too. I reckon you were a fair keeper. Yep, go on, mate.
Yeah, I wasn't too bad, but I was a lot better at batting. So my batting was what got me there in the end. But I think it was provided me a bit of extra incentive to try a bit harder in different areas as well and develop my game. So, I thought it was a good learning curve no matter what, just to go out and do something a little bit different than just batting. So,
now, did you score any 50s or 100s at Sturt, and then conversely, obviously at uni?
Yes, I made. I probably made like a few. I made a few scores open the batting. They were very good, very patient with me. I was lucky to have the Borges brothers when I first rocked when I was playing there. So I sort of had some of the open weird that was quite established in South Australian cricket. Obviously, played a few first class games and stuff. And then, so when I made a few scores, it was good. But then when I went across to uni, it sort of like sort of blossomed a bit more. I sort of started consistently making hundreds, and you know, I was sort of started to dominate great cricket, which was ultimately the way you need to be if you wanted to play first-class cricket. So,
then debuted in for South Australia in 2016. I will be honest, Weathers. So go along to a Shield game. As you know, I'm a Shield moron. We tend to know each other in terms of that regard, the people who are. You're fielding. You're fielding at square leg and gully and that. And I was actually standing with James Pike. And I'm pissing myself laughing. And he's going, "What the hell's so funny?" And I said, "Because watching Jake is just like watching a junior Tim all over again. Your mannerisms were just so ridiculously identical. It was funny."
It's amazing, eh? Yeah, you never pick that up when you're playing yourself, but yeah, it was awesome that you could something pick that up. Yeah, it's so cool, isn't it?
It was, and it was obviously a link there with knowing, obviously knowing Tim well over the years and Mick and that. So obviously, I was drawn to follow you immediately in that regard, and yeah, and of course, the Shield final was frustrating Weathers in terms of against Victoria at the Bay. We're still waiting. Yep. We're still waiting for Hanscom to be given out LBW off Chad Sayers, yeah, one of the plumbest LBW I've ever seen. And you hit him really well to start with, and unfortunately you got out, I reckon, to Dan Christian just before lunch, I reckon, on the first day on memory, Weathers, where you batted well in both innings, but unfortunately neither. We just needed someone to really go on and get a decent 100 in that game, and we sort of stuffed it up a little bit. So, but that LBW decision, it was, again, too, Pete, that was funny in terms of, Shield games, normally no one there.
Yes.
And this LB's been given not out. And because it was a Shield final, they were playing it online, and we watched it straight away, and it is still to this day the plumbest LBW I've ever seen, given not out.
Yeah,
I know. And I walked around to Chad at fine leg, and that was unreal. And his reply was quite colourful, and I had to remind Jack, Chad, there's actually people here today. It's not like the normal Shield game.
So true.
Yes.
What are your memories of your first game of Shield cricket? Did you get presented with your cap, and who was it? If it was to go that way, and just talk about that a little bit.
It was a pretty strange debut, to be fair. We played in Coffs Harbour, which is a lovely spot. We played New South Wales, which is obviously they were quite strong at the time. Jamie Siddons presented my cap. It wasn't the most traditional way of getting presented your cap. I sort of just got given it. I think South Australia was in a pretty weird space in terms of sort of rotating through openers quite quickly at the time. So I don't think they were I don't know if it was the most, a celebrated thing for me getting my debut. So it was for me, but yeah, it was sort of like there was quite a few openers that opened that year. We sort of hadn't got it right in terms of who was opening the batting. So I guess that it wasn't the most celebrated thing, but it was good. I got Jamie Siddons presented my cap in terms of just gave me the cap and said good luck. And then we played New South Wales with quite a strong side, Doug Bollinger, Trent Copeland, Sean Abbott, and we actually bossed the whole game, to be fair. We batted really well. Limo made a really nice 100. I made 50-odd in the first inning. He made 300-odd, and we ended up rolling them. And then, they chased out 300 in the last innings or something. And, Benny Roar had made his first 100 for like
That's
2 years.
That's right. I do remember that now. So
we sort of got robbed of... I remember getting a message from Cam Borges saying, "Mate, you're about to win your first Shield game. It took me 30 games to do that. South Australia." And I was just like, so good, this is gonna be great. And then we ended up losing it, which was, we lost the unlosable that game. And then but then after that we sort of went on this winning streak. So I won quite a few games after that next 2 years and played 2 Shield finals, so I was pretty lucky really.
And there is one amusing thing in one of those Shield finals. Didn't take you long to get a wicket at least, Weathers.
No, I didn't. No, I always said to Hedy, if you bowl me, mate, I'll change the game for you. We didn't really change that game, to be fair. We stood it for 2.5 days.
Yeah.
But I was excited to bowl. I was ecstatic at that time just to have an opportunity to do something different. I'd been fielding for so long, and I was just in Alice Springs. It was so hot, and it was just needed some excitement out of that game. Once the first 2 days were done and the game was pretty much in dead and buried, there wasn't much to sort of celebrate after that. Yeah.
Who did you get?
I got Aaron Finch, which I was pretty happy with. I remind him constantly when I see him. So.
Make sure if you any interview he does with you, I want to make sure that's brought up every time with us, all right?
Yeah, exactly right, 100%.
And, of course, then you actually had a big game against Cricket Australia 11 with us in the Matador One Day Cup in 16-17.
Yeah, we were lucky. We played them on a very small ground and sort of kick-started my one-day career as well. So I sort of just walked out. I got dropped by Josh Inglis as well at point. And then I went on, made 140 odd or something, whatever it was. And then, it's just sort of one of those games where you want to, get the first 100 in one-day cricket on the board and then sort of get to play against them. Was quite lucky, to be fair. I was quite happy with that. And then it sort of just gave me confidence to go out and play a lot more one-day cricket in terms of like how aggressive you want to be and stuff like that. So I was lucky that sort of got a nice stepping stone into domestic one-day cricket.
Back to that Shield final in Alice Springs, the one thing out of that game was Alex Carey breaking the Shield record of keeping. And as someone who has watched a lot of Shield cricket, Alex Carey's keeping that year was as good as there's been in Shield cricket. He was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And that, so.
Yeah, he was amazing. Yeah, he was a great year for him. He sort of put him on the map, really, I know everyone thought he was talented with the bat, but, his glove work, Australians have always been very very big on having very good glovemen. So I think that was probably the thing holding him back. But then at the same time, once he had that year, sort of courtesy of Chad Sayers getting all the edges, he sort of mopped up the work and did a really good job and was really clean. So I think, credit to him. It was such a good year for him, but he hasn't looked back since. So it's been great for him.
Did you score a few runs in that Matador Cup?
Yeah, I did score a few runs. Yeah, I was happy with that year. I was happy with it. I actually really enjoyed those Matador Cups. It sort of gave a bit of rhythm to your game as well. You could go and play. You play consistent one-day cricket, where at the moment you sort of just, you play a one-day game, you don't have to play for 3 weeks, play a Shield game, and then you rock up and got to play another one. It's sort of just a bit disjointed. So it always find it hard to sort of get rhythm, and, the game is moving so dramatically and towards being quite aggressive. So, and the scores are going up and up. So the tempo you need to bat with is just altering quicker and quicker every game. So, it's made it harder, but definitely a good challenge.
Of course, since we're interviewing you and you are in WA, and we greatly appreciate you taking a call over in WA with us, but it should be one Shield game which brings back fantastic memories. Let's go through that, where you dominated a Shield game in WA, mate, in 17-18.
Yeah, that was a good game, to be fair. It was one of those ones where I was probably a bit short on runs as well. I hadn't batted it that well leading up to that game. And I was sort of in a bit of... I just watched Cameron Bancroft pile on the hurt, make 200. And then, I just sort of... It was one of those ones where I just walked out there and said, well, bugger it, I'm just going to go out. So I tee off a little bit here. So I put myself in a good position to score, and thankfully, it all worked out after that. It's just one of those games where you just see it like beach balls, and the WAC is such a great place to play, so I was very lucky.
He scored 152 off 160 balls in the first dig, and then 143 to get us home in the second dig, Weathers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was one of those very rare times in your career where you feel good both innings. I've never played in a game ever since then. You talk to so many cricketers around the world and domestically about batting, and they're just like, there's just never a time in your life where you feel like you're in twice in a row. I was just lucky that that day happened, and against a good attack, I was very, very proud moment, I guess.
Now, Jake, we will go to a serious question. Like, I reckon people would watch you and think, oh, he's a sort of happy-go-lucky bloke and all that. And I think probably like all of us, we're probably guilty of hiding what we really are a bit. And I think you probably need to know Jake Weatherall to realise he's pretty intense and pretty sweet, you know, fair dinkum about making it. And so you've gone through some mental health challenges and been really honest about it, Jake. And we are getting better as blokes, but we've still got a long way to go. Just cover that, go wherever direction you want to there, Jake.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I've, it's obviously one of those, I mean, it's quite public because you play in a sport that's so revered in Australia. It's such a, but also you try to be respectful of the fact that you don't want to devalue, the sport you're in as well by making decisions to step away. So, but I was always big on the fact that, like, if I wanted to be a great partner and a great person, that I needed to step away from cricket in order to do that. I probably felt as though that cricket became, I was not the greatest person in terms of what I felt as I was I cared about myself, but also cared about the people around me. I thought it became quite segregated from what I really could be as a person. So I sort of thought as though if I take breaks off cricket periodically, I could have a good opportunity to, come back in a mind frame that was healthy for myself, but also better for my partner and better for my family and better for my friends. But also, make sure that when I am playing cricket, I'm doing the best I can. I'm not just, sort of not doing the right team thing as well. So I think mental health is one of those spectrum of things. But yeah, we are getting a lot better understanding that, like injuries or anything else, periods of time off, it doesn't mean it's the end of their career or anything. It's just times that you get where people aren't their best. And if they're safe enough to go off and have a bit of time off, which Saka have been really good with me with that, and so has Cricket Tasmania, they've been really good at understanding the fact that I do, I do have like anxiety and OCD and stuff like that, and things that I take medication and stuff for. So I've sort of got to, they've got to realise that if I want to be at the best position as a player, I've got to be able to also be right mentally. And you're not always going to be right mentally, but, there's a good opportunity to, if you can be consistent in what you're doing day to day, it's hard sometimes when you're playing cricket all the time and on the road and in front of people's eyes, you sort of, sometimes you lose the who you are as a person, which is makes it quite difficult sometimes.
And we've just been talking with Jake Weatherald, and he was kind enough to give us his time last week. We did pre-record this interview, and he was in Perth, not actually playing, but training.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So he's moved to Tasmania.
Yep.
He's going to be playing the Big Bash for the Strikers. Is it a shill game in Perth training? So, yeah, it's...
it's the, like we've talked about just previously, that the modern cricket player is travelling around everywhere, not only internationally but nationally. And, no, we thank Jake for his time and, just sort of going through how, came from Northern Territory down to South Australia and really for opportunity gets another go in Tasmania, and we wish him the best for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, oh, look, my understanding is that Adelaide he left of his own, but he would have been offered a contract still with the Redbacks.
But like you said, he needed a little bit of a change.
Yeah, maybe. It's funny with, at the moment, their whole batting isn't clicking, and it's interesting where the mix is all wrong. You had Hunt and Gardner. At one stage, Gardner had one off 34 balls, and I think Hunt was five off the other 30.
Yes.
So after 10 overs, we were none for six or so. Like, where they're all batting at that stage, we're 30 or 40.
Yep.
So I think they've missed him.
Supply and demand a little bit.
Yeah, and I just don't think their mix is right.